Wings of Chaos. Chapter 14. Fields of the Dead. They spent the day in the Elfsong Tavern, sitting with Whisper's cult friend, Berar. "I'm done with the cults for now," the dwarf said in common, draining the contents of another ale. "I've gotten my pay. Now it's time to look for something else."
"No more dishes?" Whisper asked.
"Hopefully not," the dwarf barked a laugh. On the other side of the table, Reverence leaned toward Ozarin.
"I'm curious."
He gestured a hand to Ozarin's hand, where it clutched a mug of ale.
"Where does your sword go when it disappears?"
The warlock tilted his head.
"That's actually a good question. I'm not sure I know."
"We could test it," Reverend said, eyes gleaming with curiosity.
"Whisper, could I have a piece of your yarn?"
Whisper pulled out a ball of yarn and tossed it to the monk, who quickly unraveled a long strip and ripped it on one of his sharp teeth. Ozarin held his hand out over the table and summoned his sword, which appeared in a flash in his grip. Reverence tied the piece of yarn in a loop around the blade carefully.
"All right," he said, sitting back.
Ozarin recalled the blade, which disappeared instantly. The loop of yarn dropped to the table, not intact.
"Fascinating," Reverence said, shaking his horns interestedly.
"Watch this," Ozarin said, summoning his blade and standing up from his chair. He looked across the busy tavern, then threw the sword, hilt over blade, across the room over everyone's heads. It spun through the air until it was 10 feet from their table, then vanished. The barkeep looked up in complete shock and dropped the bottle in his hand. It smashed to the floor, splattering its contents everywhere. The sword had only been a second away from impaling him.
"Sorry," Shale said quickly as the patrons all turned to stare at their table.
"We'll pay for that," she promised. And once the barkeep had recovered his shock, he shook his head and ran to the back to fetch a broom, muttering profanities.
"Neat trick," Philip said,
sounding bored as he swirled the bubbles of his drink with the tip of his finger. Eventually, the extremely drunk Berar got to his unsteady feet and excused himself from the table, stumbling out of the door after paying his tab.
"Let's follow him," Ozarin whispered to Reverence, who nodded in agreeance.
They both stood quickly and followed the drunk dwarf out of the Elfsong Tavern. The rest of them were finishing a shared loaf of bread and a plate of cheese when the two of them returned.
"Find anything?" Philip asked when they seated themselves.
Ozarin shook his head. He stumbled into the blushing mermaid, a brothel, and that was the end of it. "I don't think he was an important member of the cult by any means," Shale pointed out, and Whisper nodded his head. Shale excused herself and went upstairs, where sleep found her quickly, Trigger curled up at her feet. Whisper removed the large egg from his bag and placed it gingerly on the bed, rubbing his paws over its rough black surface. The tabaxi conjured a small knife and edged the blade into the shell until a small crack formed. He carefully spent the next half hour carving the fine blade along the shell, parting it from the membrane. Within the pulsing blood vessels of the membrane was the interior fluid sac containing the dragon fetus with small, curled wings. As he worked at a particularly tough piece of shell and tried to dislodge it from the rest of the membrane, the sac split open and fluid began to leak out. With an annoyed hiss, he made the knife disappear, and giving up on his careful work, tore open the rest of the membrane and let the contents spill out. The dragon fetus shivered and gasped for breath as the cold air struck it. Whisper used a spell to pull the fluid from its tiny lungs. Then he summoned his unseen servant, and the invisible presence began stoking a fire to warm the tiny fetus. When he felt confident it was breathing on its own, Whisper sat back and let the servant work as he pulled out a book and began taking notes on the premature dragon hatchling. They found a group of 13 carts, made 14 with theirs, pulled up around Akin's Wagonry and Equipage Shop. Philip checked all their supplies, taking notes of the various spices and nodding in satisfaction when his inventory seemed to be in order. The caravan was set up by the afternoon, giving them a chance to take stock of their new travel companions. There was a somber group that stood apart from the rest, guarding their three carts. There were several families with covered wagons containing their livelihoods, as they packed up and moved north, all looking weary. There was also a well-dressed dwarf in fine robes selling perfumes from the south, a dark-skinned man and his halfling assistant carrying silks, a cheerful, lanky human selling porcelain dishware, a couple of elves carrying wood from foreign lands to be sold for furniture,
and a surly-looking half-elf selling ale. The half-elf's name was Bade, and the friendly human introduced himself as Colin the Hoper. Shale took her seat next to Philip on the cart after checking on their new horses, and Whisper brought up a newly purchased donkey to hold some of their packs. Reverend seated himself in the back with the supplies, though he told them that his plan was to walk around the caravan as they traveled, to pass messages between the others. Ozrin found work with the surly half-elf as a guard, and Keelan offered up his services to the lanky human with the porcelain dishes. Shale and Whisper planned to hunt and scout ahead once they were on the road while Philip drove the cart. "Whisper," Ozrin said, taking the tabaxi aside for a moment, "we all put our gold together and got this for you." The warlock passed him a small bundle, which he opened. Inside the strips of cloth lay a large ruby.
"What is it?"
Whisper asked in Draconic. "It's a new eye for the one you lost," Ozrin told him. "It's magical." Whisper picked up the ruby and held it up to the place where his other eye had been. He gave a quick nod to the warlock.
"Thanks,"
then trotted away without another word. Trigger leapt up on the cart next to Shale. She had a scarf pulled over her head to cover the colored strands of hair. She didn't like the look of the three carts that rode in the back of the caravan, away from the rest. They looked standoffish and untrusting, and she, like the others, suspected they were hidden members of the cult. They set off northward from Baldur's Gate on the long, foggy journey across the fields of the dead. The place was brown and barren, the scorched earth still carrying scarred remnants of a battle fought thousands of years ago. They spent the days going about their business and observing the other members of the caravan carefully. In the evenings, they would build a few campfires and gather around them, sharing food and stories. The three carts in the back stayed apart from the rest, their fire hidden and their conversations quiet. One evening, Keelan seated himself next to Whisper and spoke to him in Elvish.
"I was told recently," the paladin began slowly, "that things are not always as they appear. I've always thought cats to be evil."
He paused as he considered his next words.
"But you may not be."
"I am not evil, I can assure you,"
Whisper said in the flowing Elvish tongue. Keelan nodded.
"Tell me about yourself. That will assure me. What's your interest in the cult?"
"The cult killed my family," Whisper said seriously.
"How?"
"They crept into the forest and killed them all."
"Why would they kill them?"
"I don't know," Whisper said, though Keelan wasn't sure if he could believe the tabaxi.
"So your motivation is revenge, then?"
Keelan asked.
"Yes."
"What do you want? What do you want to do, Whisper? What's your goal by infiltrating the cult?"
"I'm not sure I know just yet,"
the tabaxi sighed, rubbing his one eye. They began talking about languages Whisper knew and how he'd learned them from traders and discovered books, and Keelan had to admit the wizard was rather impressive, though still daunting. He hadn't quite decided what he thought about cats, and he had a feeling he wouldn't know for a while. Ozrin helped Bade pack up the cart for another day on the road. He carried the last keg of ale into the back when he heard the half-elf shouting and swearing. He stepped around the cart and saw him cracking a whip against the side of one horse and grabbing its head roughly.
"What are you doing?"
Ozrin asked calmly, knowing after a few days of travel with the half-elf that he was quick to anger. "Stupid brute won't stand still long enough to latch the harness," Bade issued another string of profanities.
"I have a druid friend who might be able to help you with that,"
Ozrin said softly, and Bade lowered the whip long enough to look at him. "You can speak with animals, perhaps find out why they're behaving so poorly." He said this, though he knew it was because the animals were mistreated. Bade glared at him for a second, then released the horse's reins and stepped back.
"Fine, get these two hooked up so we can be on the road. Your druid friend can come by later."
Ozrin gave a slight bow, then walked beside the horse and laid a calming hand on its back until the animal snorted and lowered its head, allowing the half-elf to move up to its face and buckle the harness. He whispered to the horse in Elvish, scratching it between the ears.
"That's a nice piece you've got there,"
a voice said behind him. Ozrin turned to see a small halfling man with a long nose, whom he recognized as the silk trader's teamster. People called him Losphius Longnose, not just for his obvious facial extension, but also for the way he got his nose into everyone's business.
"The horn, I mean,"
Losphius clarified, pointing to the horn of silent calling that peeked out from behind Ozrin's cloak. It was the horn they'd stolen from Mondath, the one she'd used to call Lang to Drosa.
"I'll offer you 20 gold pieces for it."
Ozrin glared down at the small halfling and drew his cloak over the horn.
"It's not for sale."
20 gold is a good price to get on the road," Losphius insisted.
Ozrin straightened.
"It's a sentimental piece and not one I'm willing to part with."
"Very well," the halfling sighed, but the offer still stands if you change your mind. With that, he returned to Nahir's cart.
What was that about?
Reverence asked, walking up to Ozarin and giving Bade's horses each an apple, which they crunched on happily.
The halfling was interested in buying our horn.
Ozarin stared at him across the way. I don't trust him. Reverence nodded and began to walk off, saying, I'll take care of it. Ozarin put a hand on the horn and silently vowed to watch it more closely. Evening drew over the fields of the dead, and Shale walked through the carts with a string of rabbits in one hand, moving toward the firelight. As she passed amongst the covered wagons, she heard grunting and a screech, followed by various thumping and hushed whispers. She dropped the rabbits and ran toward the noise, and she stopped short when she saw Reverence clutching a halfling in one fist and beating him in the face with the other.
Stop!
Shale shouted, jumping in and pushing Reverence back. Reverence dropped the halfling unceremoniously into the dirt, bloody knuckles dripping.
What are you doing? Shale demanded.
She wasn't sure what this was about, but it might help to pretend she didn't know Reverence well. Leave the poor halfling alone, tiefling. The halfling whimpered and wiped at his swollen face. Reverence held up his hands and stepped back, turning on his heel and walking away. She would have to ask him about that later. For now, she turned and helped the halfling to his feet. She recognized him as Losvius, the halfling who worked with the attractive silk seller, Nahir.
Are you all right?
She asked, and the halfling muttered. Here, eat a few of these. She pressed a handful of good berries into his palm. They'll help with the swelling. Losvius looked up at her, then stuffed the berries into his mouth and began chewing with a pained expression.
What was that about?
She asked softly.
I'm not sure I know, Losvius said finally, looking shaken.
I expressed some interest in an item this one's friend was carrying, and the next thing I know, he was beating me into the ground.
That's terrible, Shale said, placing a hand on his shoulder.
After a pause, she asked, Where are you headed with this caravan?
To Waterdeep, Losvius said. To sell silks and make a better profit than we could get in Baldur's Gate?
Shale nodded in understanding. It's a dangerous road we travel, she told him. Take care of yourself. With that, she walked away, picking up her string of hairs in search of Reverence and Ozarin. The light of sunrise woke Ozarin, and he turned in his bedroll, rubbing his eyes. He opened them suddenly, seeing his pack had been rummaged through. He cursed and tore out of his bedroll, quickly sifting through his belongings. As he suspected, there was only one item missing, the Horn of Silent Calling. It had been under his pillow, but it must have shifted in the night and had been stolen as he slept, and he knew exactly who had it.
Where is it? Ozarin demanded, pressing his summoned blade into Losvius Longnose's throat, drawing a small trickle of blood.
Where's what? The halfling gasped, clinging to the cart he was pressed against. His face was a green and purple bruise with half-healed cuts all across it.
You know what? Ozarin said, cutting him a little deeper. The horn, you idiot. You stole it while I slept.
I didn't steal anything, Losvius insisted. Ozarin glared into his eyes for a moment, reading him. He gripped the halfling by the throat and raised him a few inches from the ground. Losvius gasped and wriggled in his grasp. Finally, Ozarin threw him to the ground, and the halfling scrambled to his feet.
Fine, Ozarin snarled. But it's time you put your nose to good use. Keep an eye out for my horn. It's been stolen.
Losvius stared for a moment, then nodded his head. Away with you, the warlock spat.
My offer still stands for when you find it,
the halfling shouted as he ran away. Ozarin stalked off in the opposite direction in search of Reverence. On their sixth day of traveling through the fields of the dead, Ozarin passed through their caravan in the early morning before most people were awake beside the guards. He nodded to Keelan as he passed, then cast a spell to tell him of anything magical in the area. He walked carefully, then noticed a glimmer in one of the covered wagons. He recognized it as one of the family wagons. They were a quiet group. A mother and father with a grown son and teenage daughter who was always cloaked in black and kept her face covered. Suspicious now that he knew what to look for. Checking that no one was watching, he cast invisibility over himself and vanished from sight almost immediately. Quietly, he crept forward and pulled aside the canvas in the covered wagon. Inside were three sleeping figures curled up under the blankets. The young man was nowhere to be seen. Ozarin slipped inside and found a glow of magic inside a chest at the base of the girl's bed. It was padlocked, so he summoned his blade and slipped it between the bars, cracking the lock open and allowing it to drop with a thump. He opened the chest carefully and peered inside, his elvish dark vision lending sight to him despite the dimness of the wagon. There, wrapped in ragged clothing, was his horn. He recalled his blade and picked up the horn with both hands, which felt strange since they were invisible. He tucked the horn under his arm and drew out a handful of gold coins, dropping them into the chest. When he turned to leave, there was a voice.
Who's there?
It was the husband. He was awake and sitting up in bed. Ozarin dropped his invisibility spell.
I came to get my property back, the warlock said, holding out the horn for the man to see.
The man squinted in the darkness.
My horn, Ozarin said as way of clarification. Where did you get it?
Horn? The man said in obvious confusion.
I found it, Ozarin said, in your chest.
The man shook his head, looking afraid.
I promise you, sir, we took nothing from you. I don't know how it got in there.
He held up a shaking hand.
Please, we don't want any trouble.
Ozarin leaned back and opened the canvas, dropping outside and flipping a gold coin to the man, who managed to catch it, looking even more confused.
Tell your daughter to keep her hands off my stuff.
The warlock dropped the canvas and sauntered off, horn in hand. It was 8 days into their journey through the fields of the dead, and they were nearing the foothills when Whisper and Shale went out on their hourly routine to scout ahead. As they crested a small hill, they could hear shouts and the sounds of clanging metal. They ran over the next hill and peered out. Ahead on the road lay an overturned cart with four people standing around it with weapons drawn. One of them was a finely dressed man who was screaming for help. There was blood down his front. Their horse lay torn open and bloody, still latched to the cart. Around them were three large warg creatures, snarling and drawing in near to bite and snap at the people. Two of the wargs were mounted by thickly armored hobgoblins, and around them stood a group of hobgoblins on foot.
Looks like we have trouble, Shale breathed, then knelt down next to Trigger and said, Go find Ozarin and the rest and warn them that there's trouble.
Trigger yipped and ran over the hill. Shale stood and turned back, and Whisper gave her a nod. She drew her longbow and notched an arrow, casting her hunter's mark onto one of the mounted hobgoblins, who seemed to be barking orders to the rest as they tried to corral their victims. Her arrow hit a moment later and bounced off his thick armor. She cursed as the hobgoblin spun in their direction.
I need to get closer, she told Whisper,
and the tabaxi wizard began conjuring a spear of fire at once as he moved toward the hobgoblins. Meanwhile, the rest of the caravan was moving forward at their slow pace when the small figure of a fox came bounding over the hill, yipping and huffing. It ran up to Ozarin and began pulling at his feet. Something's wrong, Ozarin said to Bade, summoning his sword and running to Reverence, who beckoned to Keelan. There's a fight ahead. They flew into the battle on travel-worn feet, slashing and shooting at hobgoblins and wargs alike. Reverence, Ozarin, and Keelan appeared, Reverence in the lead, and the monk leapt without pause at one of the mounted hobgoblins, punching him with a fistful of concussing air and sending the creature flying off its ward and through the canvas of the fallen cart. Trigger returned to Shale's side, and she drew her two blades, fighting back an unmounted hobgoblin while Trigger bit at its heels. Keelan raised his new gauntlet in the air with a triumphant shout, and the ember mounted on top of it began to glow hotly as he released a blast of fire at a warg, which snarled and bared its teeth and tried to dodge the flames. Whisper's flaming spear bowled through the enemy line, forcing them to spread out. Ozarin released green blasts of energy while warding attacks with his gleaming sword. Three of the four people from the overturned cart ran in to defend the well-dressed man, and they were clearly his guards. Whisper cast a magical shield as javelins were thrown in his direction, and Shale barely managed to parry a hobgoblin's longsword, distracted as she was by a snarling warg nearby. Reverence got a javelin in the shoulder and tore it out without a noise, bounding after the one who'd hit him and pummeling the hobgoblin, finishing it off with a well-placed roundhouse kick in the jaw. Shale swiped at the hobgoblin fighting her, and it raised its sword to block. Then, the blade of a sword appeared through the hobgoblin's neck, and it fell dying at her feet. Keelan stood on the other side, smiling at her, his longsword bloody. She thanked him quickly, then ran for her next quarry. The hobgoblins had begun swarming around Whisper, noticing it was he who controlled the massive ball of fire that continued to roar and push through their ranks. Shale ran up next to the wizard to defend him as he worked his spell. The hobgoblin, still atop his warg, began to chant and slam the hilt of his sword against his shield, and the others began to chant with him, pushing against their defenses. Shale heard a ragged scream but didn't dare turn to see what caused it. There was another scream, and this time she looked over and saw one of the guards being ripped into by a warg. She turned just in time to dodge a javelin, which flew over her narrowly as she ducked. Whisper's sphere took out two more hobgoblins, who ignited in flames and smoldered into ash. Shale ran at the final hobgoblin on foot, with her two swords spinning through the air. She turned the blade in her left hand as the hobgoblin dodged the first hand and thrust the blade into his exposed armpit. Trigger leapt and jumped off her arm, then dug into the hobgoblin's throat, tearing it out with a snap of his neck. The hobgoblin fell backwards, dead, and Trigger looked up at her, muzzle covered in blood. She smiled approvingly at her fox and turned to see the last of the wargs still standing, the others down by spears and fire. The leader, having lost his battalion, swung all the more fiercely as his mount dug its teeth into Ozarin's shoulder. Shael moved her hunter's mark onto the beast and began slashing at it while Trigger nipped at its heels. The warg already had a spear stuck in its hindquarters, and it was bleeding from several gashes along its side. As Ozarin tore his shoulder free of the warg, Keelan stepped in and chopped partially through the warg's neck with his longsword. The creature howled its last and fell dead at the paladin's feet. The hobgoblin leapt from its back and began to run, but Ozarin stood and cast a spell, freezing the creature where it stood. Reverence ran up to it and thrust his pointed tail up through its jaw and into his brain. The spell and the hobgoblin dropped. Shael turned immediately to see if any of the victims had survived. Two of the male guards were mauled beyond recognition, but the female guard knelt over the nobleman and was trying to bandage his wounds. Shael ran to the woman's side and quickly administered a few good berries to the unconscious fellow, whose bleeding immediately slowed. "Thanks," she said, smiling gratefully at Shael as she sat back on her heels and wiped sweat from her brow. Shael gave her a nod and the man stirred, opening his eyes. The two women helped him sit up, and the rest of Shale's companions appeared around them, having assessed the bodies of the hobgoblins. "These people saved our lives, Oin," the female guard said. Oin looked up and gave a weak smile, and Ozarin bent to help him to his feet. "My thanks," Oin said, rubbing his chest and looking over at his overturned cart in dismay. "Bad luck," he sighed. Bad luck." "Where were you headed?" Shael asked.
"Ah, to Daggerford."
"I'm afraid your other two guards didn't make it," Shael told them solemnly. "We have a caravan coming up this way, and we're headed north. It's probably safest for you to travel with us for the remainder of your journey."
"Much obliged," the man nodded, and Ozarin moved in to peer over the covered wagon. Be careful with that, please," the man squeaked and rushed over to Ozarin's side.
"Hiding something?" Reverence asked in a low voice, holding his chest at something beneath his robes and staring intently at the man.
"Of course not," Oin said, looking around at the tiefling in surprise. "Only, oh no, perhaps it's too late for them."
"Well, friend Philip will be able to help you with repairs," Ozarin told Oin. "He's back with the rest of the caravan. They should be by any minute now. What was your name again?"
"Oin Evermore," the man declared with a nervous bow.
Reverence continued to stare at Oin, and when the man looked at him, mouth quivering, Reverence said in a slow, calming voice,
"You may not be made for this lifestyle," the monk said, "but you had to try."
"I can understand that. It's difficult, filling the shoes of a distinguished family." Reverence spread his hands in a gesture of openness.
"We would be willing to take your wares for a reasonable price."
Oin stared for a while, then said with a shaking head,
"I would if I could, but unfortunately..."
He drew aside the canvas tarp.
"They're gone."
Inside lay several overturned bird cages containing dead exotic birds covered in colorful plumage. "They're from across the ocean," Oin told them sadly, "worth a pretty piece in the north. Now I have naught to sell."
"It is unfortunate," Reverend said. "Travel with us and learn from us."
"It is good to learn." With that, the tiefling put a friendly arm over Oin's shoulder and began to lead him away from the cart just as their caravan appeared at the top of the hill. Shael raised an eyebrow at the friendly display, then leaned in to whisper to the female guard,
"I'm glad to have you around. I've had just about enough with all these men and their denied homoeroticism."
"You have no idea," the woman sighed in agreement. Reverence and Oin seemed to have developed a strange bond with one another, leading to their strange evening displays around the campfire of what Reverence declared were magic shows. He used Oin as his decoy, pretending to create the magic with fanciful and somewhat ridiculous flourishes, while Reverence would manipulate water and carve ice and send sparks flying in every direction. They elicited some excited responses from others in the caravan and even earned a few silvers every night. Even as the days passed into rainy, gray hours with constant drizzling rain, they continued with their evening performances and brought a light-hearted attitude to the group despite the gloomy weather. It did not take long for Whisper Secret to become apparent to Philip, Shael, and Reverence, who all spent a good amount of their time around their wagon. It started with scratching noises, then thumps and screeches, and soon it was impossible to hide the tiny dragon hatchling in Whisper's pack. Reverence's first response was to kill it immediately. He raised a fist over the tiny creature, which mewled and curled up, and Whisper put an urgent and protective paw over the hatchling.
"No,"
Whisper said firmly.
"Why shouldn't I kill it right now?"
Reverence demanded, fist still raised. Whisper shook his head fervently.
No kill. Not yet.
Ozrin appeared beside the wagon and looked in, eyes widening at the sight of the hatchling. Shale watched the exchange but did not intervene, though she worried they would draw the eyes of the others in the caravan.
Why not yet? Reverence asked. What do you intend to do with it? Be honest with me, Whisper.
The tiefling touched a hand to his chest, watching the tabaxi carefully.
If you tell me a good truth, I promise I will listen. Use for study, then kill, Whisper said.
Then what will you do? He asked slowly.
Raise it? Train it?
Whisper shook his head.
We'll not live long enough to train. No race.
Ozrin sighed and spoke quickly in Draconic, and Whisper responded in kind. Shale was always annoyed when they did this, wishing she could understand the exchanges. We should let it live, Ozrin finally said. For now.
Use it to study, Reverence said, dropping his fist. All I ask ever, Whisper, is honesty. If your intentions are good, I will not fight you on it. So long as you fight on our side and help us stop the cult and their plans, I am with you.
With that, the tiefling removed himself from the wagon. Shale exhaled softly as the tension dissipated. Ozrin gave Whisper a nod and then took his leave. Whisper looked surprised, then gathered the tiny dragon into his paws to warm it against his furry body.
This group has some serious issues,
Philip said once the two of them were alone at the front of the wagon, and Shale had to agree. Not long after that exchange, they began scouting out the suspicious group of three wagons at the back of the caravan to ensure there were cultists, as expected. Some nights Philip would transform into a cat or a mouse and sneak through their camp to listen in, and look through their carts, which, it turned out, contained stacks of crates filled with gold and gems. Other nights, Whisper would send his owl familiar to watch them. Even Keelan entered their camp once under the guise of proselytizing about Kossuth, but they quickly told the paladin to kindly F off. Finally, Whisper himself entered the camp and introduced himself as one of the members of the cult, and was welcomed into their folds with open arms after a long talk about Langdedrosa and Resmir, and the cult's plans for the world. He was told about the others from the cult hidden amongst the families and merchants throughout the cavern, and was also told to keep a low profile until they reached one of the larger cities. He told them nothing of the hatched dragon. Whisper recounted his conversations with the cult to his companions every night, building on that shaky foundation of trust he had with them. He kept the dragon hidden amongst the spices inside their wagon, but Shale warned him that it could not remain a secret for much longer, not while the dragon lived and breathed and grew. They continued northwards for 14 more days without incident. They had been on the road now for 23 days, and Shale felt the boredom seep into her very soul. Not only that, but she felt with every turn of the wheels that she was being drawn further from where she had planned to be. Along with the boredom, the darkness crept in. End of part one. Just finished listening to part one of Wings of Chaos, and the next part will begin in a couple of weeks. Thanks for listening.